She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Thank you so much for joining me today. The show is sponsored by Chapman Tucson, and you can visit them by simply going to chapmantucson.com. Today, I'm going to interview a man named Colin Bevan, a.k.a. No Impact Man, and he's going to share with us his story about he and his family literally went off the grid for 1 year in ways that are almost unimaginable to me. And we're going to be talking about some of them. His story has already profoundly affected me. And I don't say that on every show. It really is about the common man and everyday living and what we can do. What do we want? So I'm certain that you are going to want to stay here with me. Colin, we welcome you and thank you so much for being on Mrs. Green's World Radio Network today.
Well, hello. It's my pleasure.
It's really, really going to be a fun show and the time will fly. And I just have a few very quick announcements, one of which is very, very exciting. And I'm thrilled that Colin gets to hear it because it will impact his presence on the show. Mrs. Green's World has been picked up by another entire radio network, and it's called Dream Vision 7 Radio. They are based out of Boston, and my show will be broadcast every Monday and Tuesday, twice a day. The times are posted on their website, but my premiere show is Monday at noon, and they have an active listener base of about 500,000 people globally. So needless to say, the Mrs. Green team is really excited about this opportunity to spread the good green word to even more audiences. There is a link up on my website for the radio page where you can listen and help us spread the word, pump up the volume on behalf of the planet, because that is what we are all about at Mrs. Green's World. And please remember to join me every Saturday at noon, Arizona time, at MrsGreensWorld.com. Remember that you can listen on your iPhone or Droid, and I do. When I was away this past couple of weeks ago in Hood River, Oregon, I listened to my own show on my Droid, which I thought was quite spectacular with the technology piece. All the podcasts live on my website, so if you miss the show, which you will want to earmark this one, they're right there for your listening pleasure at MrsGreensWorld.com. Any questions whatsoever, info at Mrs. Green's World, and of course, I have a very active Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest social media presence. So, one final announcement. Everybody knows that this show is made possible through the support of many wonderful sponsors that help us do our work. Let me give you a short shout out to our partner from the East Coast who cares about all of our health, truly, EcoBella. I invite you to visit their website at EcoBella. It's with 2Cs.com. And if you're a Facebook person, check out their Facebook page. And I want to highlight a particular product today because of the story I read on No Impact Man's project website about artificial fragrances. They're toxic. They're awful. They cause health issues. They cause really huge breathing issues for people that have asthma. They make you sick. Toxins make you sick. That's all there is to it. But I like to have a fragrance that I can spray occasionally in the house when it is needed. It is called for. So EcoBella has a chemical-free spray that's basically made out of essential oils. I chose a citrus smell, and I do a tiny little squirt, and it smells like my house is just had a whole bunch of freshly cut oranges. And I just encourage you, I take sponsors that support my mission and vision, and we vet them just as much as they vet us. And EcoBella came through with flying colors. We need to support companies like this that are dedicated to the highest standards for skincare and chemical-free and cruelty-free. Please visit them, because they're doing the right thing for us and for the planet. EcoBella.com. Okay, now on with the show. Colin, so many questions, not enough time, and I'm sure you have answered many of them, but I try to go for some of the out-of-the-box ones, so maybe I'll throw you a couple of few curveballs in this next hour. So your family literally unplugged from the electrical grid. You produced no trash. You traveled exclusively by foot or bike. You bought nothing except food. And certainly I'm going to want to talk to you about that. And you had many surprising discoveries at the end that were not just for the environment, but for you and your family. So I'd like to start a little bit with the backstory of what was your decision? How did you get to the point where you said, hey, my wonderful wife, hey, my, I don't know if you have one or two children, this is what we're going to do. Are you on board? I need the backstory a little bit.
Well, the ride has been going for a few years now, and I think the story starts in 2006 and goes through No Impact Man and kind of ends with now, which is it's taken me to the place where I'm actually now running for Congress on the Green Party slate because...
You are kidding me.
No, because I'm feeling like the major parties are not doing the things we need to do to make sure that we have a safe, happy world. Not just for the planet, of course, but for us as people. But let's take it, we can talk about that, of course, but I'll take you a step back so you understand my personal journey, which was that back in 2006, I had just written a book. I'm a book writer by trade, and I had just written a book about World War II. And because of that, I was really sensitive to the effects of war on people. And at that stage, we were finding out all sorts of things about the Iraq War, including that there were actually no weapons of mass destruction, that this torture had happened at Abu Ghraib, and that so many of our young men and women were being placed in harm's way, not to mention the Iraqis themselves and their suffering. And so it started to hit me, why are we really there? And no matter who, there are lots of reasons why people say we actually went to war in Iraq. But no matter who you talk to, I think part of the reason is that we needed a foothold in the Middle East because that's where the oil is. So
never a better time. I just have to press pause. Never a better time, in my opinion, than for you to emphasize that than now, because people are going to be making big decisions coming up soon. And let's remember that it was about big oil. It was about big money, and there were lots of profits to be made. I try to keep my show apolitical, but on this one, I would be less than honest if I didn't cheer you on for bringing that up. Thank you.
Well, so for the one thing, I was like, what are we paying for our way of life? What are the costs to ourselves and the whole world? And then, of course, we had climate change, and I saw kids in New York City walking around on a January day in tank tops and shorts because it was so hot in the middle of winter. And then on top of all that, what I saw was that so we were wrecking the place. And if you're going to wreck the place, you would think, well, you're wrecking the place because your way of life is so great. But what I saw was that we, on our planet, we have, on the one extreme, we have 1 billion people without even access to clean drinking water. But maybe more relevant to your audience and to us in the United States is the fact that even in the developed world, the so-called rich, the most, the country that's the most progress we like to think we're the most progressed, there's 27% of us are suffering from anxiety or major depression. Those are the numbers. Lots of us are lonely and alienated from ourselves and not happy. So what kind of got me going on this whole journey that I've been on in joining with lots of other people around the world to kind of really get us to think about how we should live is the fact that we are literally wrecking the place, and we're not having a party doing it. And that's the bad news. The good news is that because things are kind of in a crisis point, we have these major opportunities to make our ways of life better for both us and the planet. We can have a way of life that actually is more satisfying, more fair, more just, more promoting of happiness, and that self-same way of life will make the planet itself safer to live on.
And to me, your whole train of thought there is about it can be daunting, it can shut people down. There are days after I interview a guest when I am shut down. It's so daunting when I have a guest on that talks about fracking, or I'm very familiar with the global water shortage. But what I loved about No Impact Man the deeper I got into it, the more I started to think, what can I do to move my game up a little bit, to get my green on in a little bit stronger way? So let's talk a little bit about the particulars and the transition. Was the family on board? Were they excited? What was their level of commitment?
So, you know, at that time I went home to Michelle, and I said I wanted to do this, and, you know, we were all kind of excited at first, but we didn't realize what we were getting ourselves into.
God, it's daunting. It's daunting.
because let me explain what the project was. It was a 1 year living with as little environmental impact as possible. So on the one hand, we reduced our negative impact on the planet. Now, that means that we didn't make trash. And I don't mean we recycled more. We attempted not to make trash at all.
Clearly.
We didn't have carbon emissions through our transportation. And again, I don't mean that we rode mass transit more. We actually only walked or biked, you know, or we didn't, you know, try to eat local food, but we restricted ourselves to food that was produced within 100 miles. And because it was an experiment, the question was, what would happen to our lives if we did these things?
Right.
And so, you know, it wasn't about being extreme. It was about experimenting with a different way of life. So we did all those things. And on the one hand, the idea was that we would reduce our negative impact. And then on the other hand, the idea was to increase our positive impact through, like, volunteering to take trash out of the river, to help plant trees in the city, you know, things like that. So that the idea was that we would reduce our negative impact, increase our positive impact, and the net result to be no impact. Now, if you talk to any environmental scientist, it doesn't really make technical sense, but philosophically, what we were striving to do, I think, is what everybody strives to do, which was to live a life where we do more good than harm.
I think you're right. Okay, so get to the particulars, because you had some, like, I thought about it. You did a commitment to use no electricity,
mm-hmm.
absolutely none. So you live, I think you live in New York City. Do you?
Well, so yes.
Like air conditioning in August?
Well, so the commitment was not to use electricity. The commitment was not to have, I'm not a person who's like, let's go back to, you know, the olden days. It wasn't about, like, depriving ourselves. It was just about trying to have no impact. So if
right.
I could have had if I could have found electricity that was renewably produced, that is
okay.
solar or wind
okay.
or hydro, right, I would have done it. But
right.
there's actually, so in other words, it wasn't about depriving myself for the sake of environment. It was just to say, could I find environmentally friendly resources? And I couldn't. So the result was turning the electricity off. Now,
oh my God.
The thing about it is, The thing of it, now, I'm not suggesting that everybody should turn their electricity off, but one of the things, but it revealed certain things. So, for example, you mentioned that we had no air conditioning in August, and also, by the way, no television.
Yes, that too.
Right. So it had used to be that our family were, you know, in a big rush. We would order takeout food for breakfast, so much so that my little girl would say, I'm hungry, Dad, call the man, meaning the delivery boy, right? You know, and then we would rush to work, drop off a little girl, rush home, order more takeout, plop ourselves in front of the TV, shovel the food in, argue about who's going to walk the dog, go to bed, and start all over again. Kind of a typical
yes.
American way of
right.
life, right? Or at least in New York. So when the electricity went off, there was no TV, and so there was no way to, there was no screen for us to veg out in front of. And the result of that was that our kitchen table actually became the entertainment point. And because we were only eating local food, there was always a pot of fresh soup in the fridge.
Right, right.
So before you knew it, people were actually dropping by to eat with us. And because we couldn't entertain ourselves in other ways, we were inviting people to come over and play games. And, or, you know, because there was no air conditioning in August, it was so interesting because one time I was talking to this elderly lady, and she said, you know, August, who grew up in New York, she said, you know, August nights used to be my happiest nights of the year because nobody could stay in because it was too hot. So we would all pour out onto the street, and it would be like a block party in the middle of the street.
I love it.
And that's what happened to us. In our nights, we would end up hanging in the fountain at Washington Square Park, listening to the NYU kids playing chamber music or watching some other sort of street entertaining came. In other words, interesting, paradoxically, when again, I'm not advocating that we all turn our electricity off. What I am saying is that there may be a different balance that we want in our lives. Because when we decided not to have electricity and didn't have the TV and didn't have the air conditioner, it actually caused us to make choices that in some ways made us happier.
Our family talks about it a lot, Colin. When we go away with our kids and grandkids, go away. We'll go to a cabin in the mountains. We don't even think about watching TV. And we play games. We play Scrabble. We play charades. We play apples to apples. And we come home and say, why don't we do this at home? There are no game restriction opportunities at home. And everybody kind of goes back into their corners, as it were, and lives the TV life. And we have a couple of TVs. So this is something that people could at least commit to once a week, or for two weekends a month. And our family's talking about that. It's like, it ends up being such a good thing for you. So go on. The fun things that replaced the television.
Well, you know, in some ways it was like, you know, being on a camping trip in our own home. I mean, the other thing was that because there was no electric light at night, we couldn't work at night, right? So we ended up, one, getting enough sleep, to actually, as I said, spending time with friends and doing things that didn't require power. And I think the other thing that was really important about that, the electricity thing, is to say, look, it's not that we should all be without electricity. That's not the point. The point is that the reason why we had to do that is because our culture does not provide renewably produced electricity. So what's interesting is that if you want to live causing little impact, in some ways you have to withdraw from the social systems. And that's not right, because to live environmentally should be as easy as falling off a log.
Right, it should be the social system. Right.
Right, exactly. Right. And so, I mean, I just want to take this full circle and say that's part of the reason why I've ended up running this campaign for Congress, is because we need to actually change the systems too. We need to make it, you know, not everybody's going to be No Impact Man or Mrs. Green, and we should actually make it so that people are able to live renewably without feeling like they have to have a camping trip in the middle of New York if they don't want to. And so that's why one of the models that I developed while I was doing No Impact Man is this model of engaged citizenship. It's not individual action. It's not collective action. Instead, it's being awake to your own life, living your own life in line with your values, and being involved with your community and your community's politics so that your community itself can live according to its values.
And I have, you know, personal shares that I share on the radio. I have a very wide open green heart. And some of the things where I will talk about and advocate for a program, I get off the show and I think, what are you doing, Mrs. Green? You didn't sign up for community solar from TEP. So then I go and do it. It's like, you can't just advocate for it. I've got to start walking the walk. And we do a lot of things here in our family. I mean, last night we went to dinner, and this is just one of the minimal things to do and collectively has such a big impact. We went to this wonderful dinner with friends at a locally owned restaurant, and James and I have our to-go containers in the car. And when they came out with theirs, they were in a styrofoam container and the double plastic bag whammy. They were wrapped in a plastic bag. And I'm so sensitive now in that one area. I just went, oh, we got to go out, honey, go get our to-go containers. And it's just a new habit. And if everyone in the restaurant had done that, maybe 40 fewer styrofoam cup, you know, they just make me sick. And plastic bags would have gone out. And I'm not judging the people who do it. What I want to do, I put it up on Facebook when I came home and said, this is what Mrs. Green did. And it's so doable, folks. Small step, big impact. So I have to ask, we have, I think, about a minute or two till our break, because there's so much more to ask. But can I just ask a couple of really personal things that are kind of funny? Like, for things that are, to me, the creature comforts I really don't want to do without, top of mind for me is toilet paper. In my new book, I write a whole thing about guilt-free flushing. But what did you do about things like that and shampoo and deodorant? Not what I would call excessive things, but if you didn't buy things, what did you do about those?
Well, so it wasn't that we didn't buy things, it's that we didn't buy anything that was new. And obviously,
okay.
You know, so So, for example, for soap, what I did was I bought at the farmer's market, there was a woman who made beeswax soap. So
right, that's what we do. We get our soap there at ours, yep.
And similarly with moisturizer and conditioner. So, it was really interesting because it turned out, you know, all of us, many of us go to the big stores and we go and you kind of get this feeling like, I got to find the cheapest thing because I feel like this store is just trying to part me from my money. And it's not about real loyalty. But when you go to the farmer's market and buy the soap and buy the moisturizer and buy the vegetables,
we got to do a quick break.
The farmers.
Okay, let's come back to that. Everybody, I know you're going to stay here with me. Colin Bevan, No Impact Man, lots more to share. We'll be right back.
University of Arizona professor John Pollard asked the students in the Posada San Pedro Hall to consider bringing solar energy to the dorm. Just 3 years later, the Solar Cats, a group of students who took up the cause, have installed 44 solar panels on the dorm, saving 20,000 kilowatt hours of energy and reducing greenhouse gas emissions by 14 metric tons every year. Talk about students with a sunny future. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
She's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to you, and you want to spend eternity with her. She deserves nothing less than the best, an Abbott Taylor original. A diamond engagement ring as exceptional as she is that will make her eyes sparkle every time she sees it. Because we design and make our own jewelry, we can create something wonderful for every budget. I'm Abbott Taylor. I'd like to invite you to come see what Abbott Taylor Jewelers has waiting for you. With 35 years and thousands of original jewelry designs, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. We're proud to say using recycled gold, we have saved over 100 million pounds of toxic waste from this planet. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook, and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green. Did you know that the 2012 VW Beetle has been completely redesigned, that it has exciting new features, look, and performance, and that it is one of Oprah's best things for 2012? The best news is Chapman VW has them in stock. Check out the new Beetle at Chapman VW at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan, or visit them at TucsonVW.com. Be sure to tell them that Mrs. Green sent you.
You know how they say your donation to Goodwill changes lives?
Well, it's true.
It's true.
Well, it's true.
Goodwill.
Goodwill gave my son a chance.
My mom, hope.
My brother, a sense of purpose.
And help my dad find a job.
Goodwill helps thousands of people.
People like us every year.
People like us.
Every year.
Your donations to Goodwill do change lives. Please donate today.
Did you know that even a donated doorknob can help Habitat for Humanity? Habitat's Habastore accepts donated items like furniture, building materials, and appliances. Donations come from commercial builders, malls, restaurants, hotels, and individuals like you. Then, items are bought by bargain hunters who come across the very things they are looking for, just like the right doorknob. The best part is that Habastore sales generate funds for building homes. Call 520-889-7200 or visit habitattucson.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to, and we are certainly giving you a lot to think about today. I am so pleased to have Colin Bevan, a.k.a. No Impact Man, sharing with us his story about he and his family literally went off the grid for 1 year in very, very creative and very on-purpose, intentional ways. If you are listening on your computer and want to pull up another screen to follow along with some of this, their website is noimpactproject.org. It's a fabulous website, content-rich, easy to navigate. So I encourage you to do that because you can listen and learn at the same time. So Colin, when we took the break, you were talking about one of my favorite haunts. It's a Sunday tradition for Mr. Green and I, is the farmer's market and all of the joy that that brings to us, not just in what we buy, but in the community of people you get to know, and the kids and the dogs, and not the big dogs necessarily, but the people and the vendors, and you know which ones to trust, and they save things for you. Like I have a guy named Forrest, not kidding, that saves homemade jams for his best, you know, for his regulars. And he says, here, Mrs. Green, I've got some, you know, peach preserves for you. So it becomes a community that's just joyous. That's the word I think about. We don't like to miss going to the farmer's market. So soap is what you get there. I get my soap there from these two little guys that make every kind of natural soap you can imagine. And I give it as presents all the time. So talk about that part.
So, first of all, you mentioned our website, so I just wanted to also to say that if people want to be in dialogue with me personally, they can like me on my fan page at Facebook. It's facebook.com/Colin Bevin, or on Twitter, which is also, it's at Colin Bevin. It's C-O-L-I-N-B-E-A-V-A-N. And, you know, the thing about, so this is really interesting to me because a lot of the non-environmental way of life we've led also comes and is connected to the fact that we don't have community. So, and the idea that, you know, our lives are segmented. So, you know, going to the grocery store is one thing. Hanging out with friends is another thing. And although the first time I went to the farmer's market, I was daunted. I was like, you know, I looked and there was like a rutabaga, which looked like a brain tumor.
like what is rutabaga? I don't.
What do you do with a rutabaga? I mean, a lot of us don't even know how to cook anymore. But the farmers patiently taught me, like, this is, you know, you can cut up it into small squares, you can roast it, throw it with some olive oil, some salt, throw it in the oven. Like, they actually taught me. And then it got to the stage where instead of, like, grocery shopping being one thing and hanging with my friends being another thing, I actually found that the farmers who were at the farmers market started to be my friends. So shopping for my food, it wasn't just about getting my food, but it was actually giving money over to something so that the energy, my working energy, the energy that I used to earn money was not going down the drain into some corporation that I didn't believe in, but it was actually going to people who cared about producing good food. So that's really interesting to me.
And they get excited about it, and they tell you, and I'm like, I see potatoes. I'm like, what is that? That's a potato. Right. That color? I mean, it is really a truly exciting and tactile experience because everything doesn't come wrapped in plastic placed on styrofoam. That kind of feels good, too.
Right. You know, and the other thing that I want to say is that, you know, sometimes if we're not careful, people who think about environmental stuff end up talking a lot about how they spend their money. Like, we spend it on farmers market, we spend it on non-toxic cleaning goods. It's also important to talk about how we spend our time. And one of the other places where I've seen community also emerging and where it's emerged for me too is in community engagement. That is to say, actually, you know, I talked about this a little bit earlier. So here in New York, a place where community is really forming a lot is around the Occupy Wall Street working groups. So people are actually, people who feel that they have similar values and want to work to make the world a safer and fairer place for all of us are coming together and actually finding that they're forming really good friendships. And, you know, so they're developing circles of friends and doing good for the world at the same time. And I just think getting, you know, and this is not just to talk to Democrats or Greens or Republicans.
No, it's people.
But to say,
it's people.
Yes. Yes, so whatever political party we're in, we need to be involved and let our politicians know what we care about.
And it's the Rumi quote, out beyond the ideas of wrongdoing and rightdoing, there is a field, I will meet you there. And sometimes I feel at the farmer's market that I'm at Rumi's field and I expect to see him, you know, pop out from behind a tree because it's a joyous community and it is about connection. And I agree with you. People are starving for it. You do not see, excuse me, a lot of people walking around on their electronic devices. People are engaged. It just doesn't happen. And anywhere else you go, including restaurants, you do see that, you know, people aren't connected and I think they're starving for it. So, and another, just a little question before we go on. What about mundane things? Like, do you work from home? Because I was thinking about things as I was preparing for the show and reading this past week about your impact. What about making copies and having a printer? Did you just have to go to stores and do it so that you weren't, because you didn't have electricity? So little inconveniences like that?
Well, what at back in that stage, what we would do, what I would do is, I do work from home, but it's all about sharing resources. So, well, first of all, I don't print that much anyway, and second of all, I make a habit of collecting paper that's printed on only one side. So what I would do is I would go to a cooperative workspace so that, you know, that one space was being heated or cooled or whatever, not ten different homes. And then, you know, there was a shared printer and shared facilities, and reusing paper was what I did.
And there are lots of green spaces popping up like that. I saw something in one of my many green subscriptions, an extensive article on a woman that started creating green spaces. And that's the whole concept, where you can go and it's a minimal amount, or you can, you know, pay by the hour, or you can become a member and you don't have to have your own office. I mean, the Mrs. Green team does not. And we do things via Skype, GoToMeeting, 37 Signals. So we have ways of being together in a community without having to drive across town. Okay, what about this? I have to ask you this too. Did you eat out in locally owned restaurants? Was that acceptable?
Well, so the deal was that we didn't eat out by the deal that we made with ourselves was that we would eat out only if we were eating out with other people.
Okay.
So we called it the social exception to the local food
okay.
rule. Because the reason for that is like if you so many dogmas, religious dogmas, environmental dogmas, eco dogmas serve to separate people from each other. And the last thing in the world we want is to separate each other.
So right, right.
We said, okay, we'll go out to eat, but if we do it, it's going to be because we're meeting with other people. So that we could actually continue to build social bonds, because good social bonds is something that we need if we're going to get through our crises.
So that was, so eating out in locally owned restaurants, it's just one of my big mantras. If you're going to do it, eat locally owned, and you get to know the owners and you get to know other people who frequent it. Again, it's going back to the sense of community. So I would love to talk about some of the biggest rewards that you experienced personally, because there were surprising outcomes. Can we talk first a little bit about what were some of your biggest challenges? I mean, were there times that you really wanted to cave and say uncle? What were some of the hardest things to give up? That's my famous or infamous three question in there, but we could start with the first one. Some of the biggest challenges.
Some of the biggest challenges were, I mean, so one of the things that I did was with no electricity, there was no laundry machine. So I washed our clothes by hand.
Oh, and honestly, my goodness.
That was the area that ended up falling
Where?
Apart in the end.
Like in the bathtub?
In the bathtub, yeah.
Oh my goodness,
and I did that for weeks, and eventually I just couldn't do it, you know, and it makes sense, you know, a lot of what we have in the modern world is great. Like, you know, the laundry machine is one of them. And so, you know, that points to an interesting thing to me, because we have to be careful about romanticizing, you know, the old days or all of this kind of stuff. It's not about returning to a time where we didn't have things that didn't make our life better. It's about figuring out how to actually have good lives that don't cost the earth. You know, is it possible to have a good life that doesn't cost the earth? So again, this is what actually caused me to move from the realm of just how I live my life personally to trying to help to change the culture as a whole, because why should we, it's not that we should do without washing machines, it's just that the electricity that we need to make those washing machines go shouldn't be making it so that we can't live on our planet.
And so we should use cold water, and we should use something that doesn't have phosphates in it. There are so many big lies out there about really green detergents and whatever, and when in fact mostly vinegar will clean your clothing. But it's the whole system that you talk about. It isn't just about washing the clothes. It's about, you don't ever need to wash your clothes in hot water, like not ever. And so those things all make an impact. Okay, so that I didn't even think about not having the washing machine. So that's a good one to cave on. So you went to the laundromat?
No, as I said, we washed our clothes in the bathtub.
For the whole year?
Oh! Once I gave up. No, we have down in the building downstairs. There are, you know, washers and dryers.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, and then.
But we didn't use the dryer, only the washing machine.
Okay, and how did
clothes
you?
Clothes can hang dry.
Do you have a? Did you do it inside in the winter and then outside on a porch in the summer? Easterner, so I know about the weather back there.
Yeah, big. You know, we lived in an apartment building, so it was in the bathroom all the time.
I get it. Okay. Talk about what the, if you can you pinpoint some of the most light bulb, sustainable, continuing rewards for you and your family? Because it's been several years. What are the ones that have become a part of your very being that you feel are incorporated into your life forever?
Well, you know, we've talked about this business of where living environmentally benefits us. Like, so I'm not into deprivation-based environmentalism. I'm actually into benefit-based environmentalism. And so, you know, what I continue to do are things like, so for example, in New York City, it's very common for people to take a taxi to the gym so that they can then get on the treadmill and run in place, right? So I transport myself by bicycle and by walking because it means that I get my exercise as part of my daily routine. Also, all studies show that bike commuters are the happiest. I know that not everybody can commute by bicycle, but here in a concentrated place by New York City, we can, you know. It suits me to, because I know that the directors of big agricultural corporations pursue profits before nutrition, just because that's what corporate law requires them to do. I'd rather continue to emphasize local food so that I can give my little girl food that's good for her. You know, my doctor wants me to keep my cholesterol down. I continue to eat vegetarian. It's much cheaper to buy secondhand, so I do. And by the way, actually, secondhand, if you buy from somebody you trust, statistically speaking, what happens is that when you buy secondhand, if it's gently used, it's been quality tested. You know that it has no manufacturer's defects. So statistically speaking, a working secondhand thing is likely to last longer statistically than something straight out of the box. So there's all these things that are actually good for me. That's my point. But most importantly is that I continue to be engaged and use my voice to help to work with my neighbors and my community to make sure that we have the kind of world that makes us happiest and safest.
And, you know, I'm sure maybe you were listening when the commercials were on, because two of my sponsors are Habitat for Humanity's Habastore and Goodwill Industries. And I'm going to take a stand for, I do a lot of public speaking. I like to look nice. And you would not believe the fines that you can get at Goodwill Industries. And I am so not kidding. We're talking brand names, great labels, very professional. And I love to go to one, you know, to an event, and they say, oh my gosh, your dress is gorgeous. Where did you get it? And I say, oh, the Goodwill on First. And sometimes it would be great to have a camera, because that is not the answer that they are expecting. You can get pretty much anything you're looking for if you have patience at any of these stores. And Habastore has more home and office furnishings. And I will tell you what, you're looking for that particular paintbrush or whatever, the Habitat for Humanity's Habastore. So that's reusing to me, and recycling and repurchasing is an unbelievable opportunity. Okay, so what about in the journey? What about the in this crazy world of ours, the family piece, your in-laws and your other people, were they on board with you? Was it a community supporting you? Because that can be an issue if you're not.
So a couple of things. There are, you know, some friends loved what we were doing. Some people were challenged by what I was doing. You know, my dad and his wife ended up buying solar panels. My literary agent ended up getting a bike and riding his bike to work every day. Other people, you know, there was a mixed feeling in my, you know, amongst my friend network and my family network, which is why, when people are actually working hard to make change in the environmental space, I often say it's important that you surround yourself with people who share your values, because the world itself is ready to tell you that you're wrong. So it's good to have people around you who share what you're doing. But having said that, I also, you know, of course, had the blog and the book and the movie, and a gigantic number of people supported me through the blog. But not only that, the book itself has been adopted on college campuses around the country. Something like 60,000 students have read the book at this stage. And then the other thing is our nonprofit, the No Impact Project, which is at noimpactproject.org. Our main program is No Impact Week, where people can attempt to live environmentally for a week themselves, and some 50,000 people have been through that program now. So there's a mixed bag kind of at home and amongst the friends. Like, people have different feelings about different things, but on the larger level, there's been huge support.
Okay, when we come back, I'd really like to talk about No Impact Week and give some people how-tos, and maybe you can share with us a couple of stories that are fun and exciting. Stay with us, Colin Bevan, No Impact Man. You won't want to miss.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Hi, this is Mrs. Green with some great news about the all-new 2012 VW Passat. It's 2012 Motor Trend Car of the Year, best-in-class for legroom, and has standard Bluetooth technology. VW thought of everything by giving the Passat a brand-new, sleek design that conveys confidence and assertiveness. If you're looking for the best ownership experience possible and a great new Passat, visit Chapman Tucson at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan.
What if you had simple and easy solutions to live, work, and play green? Green Living Magazine, the premier green lifestyle magazine, brings you the latest in organic cooking, gardening, health and wellness, chef and celebrity interviews, as well as easy solutions to clean up your everyday life. Visit greenlivingaz.com for the latest in green news. Buy your subscription and view our network videos. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, and again at greenlivingaz.com.
At the University of Arizona, we're putting solar know-how to work. And it's not just our researchers. Our students are on the job as well. Our student solar racing team, using recycled solar cells from NASA, designed and built a car from scratch that gets the equivalent of over 3,000 miles per gallon. Talk about students who will go far. Really, really far. The University of Arizona. Big questions, bold solutions, better tomorrows.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. And I am sure you will agree with me that our guest today, Colin Bevan, aka No Impact Man, is sharing information with us that will certainly help us press pause, take an evaluation, and do an inventory of our own lives and find workable, manageable ways to go a little bit deeper green and to make more of an impact and to just even cut back on massive consumption, which is a huge part of it as far as I'm concerned. So, Colin, before the break, you were talking about No Impact Week, which excited me because not everybody, honestly, is going to make the commitment of a year like you did. But a lot of people, including myself, can think about major pieces of it for a week and engaging other friends in that and creating some excitement. So talk about No Impact Week and the guidance that you give on your website to help people that really want to do it.
So what happened was, when I was doing the No Impact Man year, I just got this incredible amount of interest from people on my blog, and I realized that people were really looking for guidance. So we started this nonprofit and called the No Impact Project. It's at noimpactproject.org, and that's where you can find out a lot about No Impact Week. And No Impact Week is this, it's a guided immersive experience where, you know, it starts like it, and it works in themes. So like the first day, we talk you through not buying anything new. And then the next day we talk you through not making trash. And the next day we talk you through looking for alternatives to driving by yourself for transportation and buying local food, until finally the last day of the week is what we call Give Back Day. And so people do it online. They can do it on their own online, but also we work with companies, we work with universities, we work with community organizations, so people can do this together in groups. And what's fascinating to me is that as people withdraw from consumerdom, if you will, the types of messages that I get is that they were like, you know, once I kind of stopped, I had the time to really evaluate and ask myself, what am I doing with my life? So the funny thing is that this kind of, in some ways it's like a Sabbath, like an eco-Sabbath, a week-long eco-Sabbath, and people find that they automatically are reflecting and somehow it's some sort of a spiritual experience for them and a chance to retreat from consumerdom and ask themselves what they really want to be doing with their lives.
And it is profound. I just got back. I mentioned it a little bit ago. I was 8 days in Hood River, Oregon at a friend's home to finish my book. And it was in one of those settings where I was fully present. They never turned on the TV. They had one in their bedroom. So I had no TV. Like the whole hurricane thing went right by me. It was like, what happened with the hurricanes back east? And the result is a ripple effect because I did finish my book. But I did start looking at my website. I started thinking about other creative ideas. I had downtime. I walked in the pear orchards and there was no television. I read, I watched some really good videos like about planned obsolescence. So that piece, what occurs to me is how can I incorporate that in my everyday life? Because that indeed is what sustainability is. How do I make that happen so that I don't have to go away for 8 days, which isn't always very doable in our very fast lives? So that's just an amazing point. So it's a step-by-step support system to help you make this happen for no impact week. And what I'm afraid of is that I have a lot of people that are friends that are close to me that listen, and I can't wait for the email that says, so Mrs. Green, what week are you going to do it? When are you going to be ready to start? So you've got to hold me to it. In terms of the how-to roadmap and in terms of what you've learned, We don't have a lot of time left, but we have enough time to say, talk about some of the takeaways that you would like to give our listeners. I loved what your last one was, that if you become a part of a newsletter, if you get EWG's Dirty Dozen and Clean 15, if you want to become a part of Earth Justice, if you want to, you know, a little bit edgier, I love Grist. Grist is one of my favorite publications. Certainly what I did already, I subscribe to your blog and I subscribe to your newsletter because to me, they're like little B12 shots of keeping it in my consciousness, creative ways to move forward. What are some of the things that you can say to people that are listening that might not want to do a no-impact week yet, but want to start a no-impact life with small steps today?
Well, I think that the people often ask you this kind of question, like, what should I do? And it's really hard to say what you should do because it all depends on what each person's life is like. So I always say, look at your own life and ask yourself what's missing. So, for example, If you're feeling a little lonely, like your social life could use a reboot, then maybe getting involved with an environmental organization or the environmental wing of your political party or something like that, actually going and meeting people would be the best thing because that would both help you in terms of rebooting your social life and help the world. Or if you're finding, you know, if your household bills are too much, then get an energy audit of your home because, you know, using fewer fossil fuels would be better for the planet, but it would also be a bit better for your pocketbook. Or, I mean, the absolute no-brainer thing to me, absolute, is stop with the bottled water.
Oh, I'm with you. I was so hoping you'd say that. No bottled water, no plastic bags. We don't need them. You don't ever have to use them again.
Bottled water in particular because first of all, we're so lucky here in the United States to have good, clean drinking water, oftentimes more carefully checked than the bottled water itself because municipal drinking water supplies are regulated, whereas a lot of the bottled water is not regulated. But on top of that, if we move away from using our municipal water for our drinking water and support privatized drinking water, what we're going to end up with is privatized drinking water all the way around. And if you thought, if you think the price of gas going up is horrific, imagine if the price of water goes up. So we need to support our public drinking water.
It's a really good point, and I don't think people in this country realize, and it's really getting closer to 2 billion people without clean water. It's like 1.5, and every time I look at the numbers, it's going up, so that's huge. You know what I want to ask you, Colin, did you have any stories? I have a pretty outrageous sense of humor that I hold in check a little bit on the radio, but what did you have any stories that you heard from people in your global community that just cracked you up, some of the bizarre or something that stands out as, oh, Mrs. Green, I just have to tell you this one of changes that people made? Like, did anybody go and leave their life and go and live in a yurt and buy goats and that kind of thing? I mean, were there some impact man extreme stories that come to mind?
I mean, I seem to be the repository of lots of those stories, and you know, people leave them on my Facebook page, and so you can always go there to read them. But the thing that makes me sad, I think, is that a lot of times I'll get somebody, I bought myself my secondhand shoes and I did that, but I can't figure out where to buy secondhand shoelaces. And, so one of the things that I see sometimes is like people working so hard to have no impact when, in fact, instead of trying to do less bad, we could be trying to do more good. Because if you think about it, there's a limit to how much less bad we could do. Unless you're a mass murderer, in which case you could do a lot less bad. Most of us, we do some things that are harmful, but it's limited how much less we could do. But our capacity for good is great. Like it's infinite how much good we could do. So spreading what we have beyond our personal lives into our community, working in our communities, volunteering, getting involved in it. You know, one of the big problems, one of the big things that stops us from doing something about climate change is the money in politics. And it's going to be really hard to get the corporate money out of politics, but what we can do is get the people back into politics.
Those of us who
are disgusted with the political system, it's natural that what we want to do is move away from it, but what we should be doing is moving into it. And I'm not just talking about one political party or another. Whatever political persuasion we are, get involved in your political party so that the politicians can't do what the corporations want them to do. They have to do what the people want them to do.
And it's so within our reach. That's what I don't think people understand, that it is so within our reach. And if we start pushing back or pushing forward, which is what I like to say, have our voices be heard, that's all it'll take. It won't take legislation. It won't take more government in my life or less government in my life. It'll just be action. And let's go back to your point about there is no one or two or three things that you can just spout off. Because think about the tagline for my show. We don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And that's the message you're giving. What works in your life? One of the things that I got stuck on in reading and doing the research for us is that we live on the north side of our city, and Tucson is sprawled out all over the place. And I thought about what would a week look like, and it's still 104 here, and the grocery store is about a mile away, and I'm 61, and I'm afraid to go on bikes on our streets. We have a lot of really great bike paths in Tucson, but not in our immediate neighborhood. So I'm thinking, could I go to the grocery store on a bicycle? I don't think so. But there definitely are other pieces that I can incorporate. So what you're saying is, people, think about what your life is. If you have a Suburban, you might want to think about a Prius and look at your life and take an inventory and see what would work that would be sustainable for you. Is that a good way of rephrasing it or maybe reinforcing what your message is?
Well, except that, yes, but sometimes If you have a Suburban, maybe wait till it's old and it breaks down and then buy a Prius, because once you have a refrigerator, going and buying an energy efficient refrigerator and throwing the old one in the trash,
not a good choice.
So we can't buy ourselves out of this mess. We have to use less ourselves out of this mess. And the thing about that is that using less actually saves us more money. It saves the planet, and it allows us to, if we use less, then we can work less. If we buy less, we can work less. And then we can do things like spend more time with our family, more time doing the things that we really care about.
And I guess what I didn't want people to do is get discouraged and say, oh, well, I can't do that. You know, Colin lives in New York City and you can just walk everywhere or you can take your bike or whatever, because that isn't the point. The point is wherever you are, you can live more sustainably. I happen to put the, you know, the thermostat up on our air conditioning and it's quite uncomfortable. People come over and it's warm. And to me, it's, that's like my noble gesture to use to take less off the grid. And I did sign up for community solar blocks. So there are things that I can do that offset it. Okay, how do people get in touch with you? What's the best way to stay connected to help reduce the negative and increase the positive and get some of the citizens that are listening to this more engaged? What's the most beneficial?
So if you want to know about my campaign for Congress, that's at votecolin.org. And then to hear about the campaign and my other work and no impact work, facebook.com/Colin Bevan, that's C-O-L-I-N-B-E-A-V-A-N, or my Twitter profile at Colin Bevan also. And those are the places that I'm able to have, you know, I really do engage with people and answer questions and have conversations. And I like it because that way we actually work together to find a way of life that's both satisfying, meaningful, fun, and also safe, because we're looking to keep our planet safe for us.
And the one of the things you put on, that I loved on your website, you mentioned things like more time, better health, more fun. We've addressed some of them. What about just for the final conversation? I mean, you can save money because you're spending less and you can then afford organic and. If you're reducing all of those things, it's cheaper. If you buy secondhand clothes, it's just unbelievable. And, it can be done. What about the clearer conscience piece? You have a little icon on there and the man is saying clearer conscience. Speak to that a little bit.
Having a clear, so I mean, all of us have certain values that we believe in, and we find that we are making more and more compromises as we go along in life and not living according to our values. And it's not about living according to someone else's values, but actually, you know, shining according to your own light or marching to your own drummer. You know, I really believe this, that you know, I'm not terribly religious, but I take my wisdom where I find it. Like the kingdom of God is within you. And so most of us don't want to be cruel to our neighbors or to hurt the planet that supports our lives, or, you know, we want to be fair, and yet we make constant compromises. So if we're actually able to begin to live according to our values, the result is that we're happier.
Right. There's no question about that. So there are numerous ways to get engaged. What do you think? I mean, I never got a chance to ask this question because I don't typically have people that are running for office on. I usually have them on after they're elected so that I can stay out of the right and wrong and left and right and keep my political views, you know, in my personal life for the show right now. What are your chances? Do you believe that you can win? You are in a state that can entertain the possibility of a green candidate. Let's remember, I live in Arizona, so let's get real here about what the chances are. Or are you going to create enough of attention that people are saying, boy, this guy, we better start listening and incorporate, you know, do you want to have an impact on the candidates that are in the two traditional parties?
Let me say that we have to start redefining what political victory means. What political victory means, it doesn't mean if a candidate wins. It political victory is when the people win. And I would say that the people are consistently losing across the United States, again, because the politicians are running the country for the corporations, not for the people. And my campaign, if I won, I'd be happy and I would go and serve the people of my community, but it's not because I want to win elected office.
I get it.
I want to model for the people of the United States and of the world, along with a lot of other people, that we as citizens can occupy politics, that people can occupy politics and get the money out. So that's the idea, just to model that idea that we people can take charge of our world again.
I know, sometimes I really do want to scream at, find your voice, people, because you will be heard. And it's basically what you're saying. And I'm glad that your voice found Mrs. Green's World and that we found you. So we have about 1 minute left. I want to thank you for being on our show. I hope that people listen to all the ways to connect with you. And remember, everybody, that I'm here every Saturday at noon. And if you cannot listen live, it's all about the podcast, which I put up on my website. This one will get lots of play. It already is when people are listening to you, Colin. They're going to want to listen again. Next week, Sandra Steingraber, author of Raising Elijah, another incredible human being making a big difference for the planet. You won't want to miss this one. Make it a green, intentionally green week. Colin, thank you so much and the best on all of your journey. And thanks for the difference you're making for our planet.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.